Hi, this is Aislinn Antrim from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Study Break, a podcast series dedicated to pharmacy students. This month, I spoke with Aaron Johnson, a fourth-year pharmacy student at the Nova Southeastern University College of Pharmacy. In addition to co-founding a unique media platform called Our Invite, Johnson has also founded the Aaron Johnson Scholarship to tackle racial disparities in the pharmacy field. So Aaron, you've co-founded Our Invite, which is described as a health media platform. Can you talk about what this is?
Yeah, so essentially what Our Invite is, it's a health media platform. Before I even start that, so Nima Atai, who's also a fourth year doctor of pharmacy candidate at Nova, came to me and was like, hey, you know, I think it'll be really cool if we got some more pharmacy information out there. And so the podcast and everything was his idea. And, you know, I just want to give him a lot of credit because a lot of what we've done has been to him. So thank you, Nima, for that. But essentially what it was for us is we felt like there wasn't enough representation in the pharmacy world and what we do. And so we started meeting with pharmacy leaders, you know, Dr. Bill Kerner from Cleveland Clinic, Dr. Camejo from Baptist Health, and so on and so forth. And we really just wanted to show the world, as well as the pharmacy profession, what our value is, right? Because there's a lot of things we want to do in the pharmacy world, such as get a lot more collaborative practice agreements and things of that nature. So what better way than to show people this is what we do, this is our value. And then it kind of just transformed from there, to be completely honest. People saw that we did good work, and then people from other fields wanted to work with us. And it's just been such an amazing journey, and I've had a lot of fun throughout the process.
You've spoken with some really fascinating people as part of this project. What has that been like? And do you have any favorite moments from those conversations?
Yeah, I definitely have some favorite moments and favorite guests. But the experience, it's just indescribable, right? You meet, and when you're learning in school and throughout your career, you learn that there's pretty much one type of leader or one type of successful person. The great thing about meeting all of these people is you see the different styles in which they lead and how they do a good job of getting people to buy into whatever that mission is. And so being able to see different perspectives, different health systems, different leaders has been quite the experience. I've learned a lot from it. I think you learn a lot in school, but there's just some things you can't learn in a textbook. And those are some of the important lessons I've learned. Now, if we're talking about favorite, all of our guests have been amazing. I have to say, though, being able to interview a Nobel Prize laureate is just, you know, that's off the charts. Never thought I'd be able to have that experience, seeing how Professor Barry Marshall got to where he was at. And the fact that he still has a lot of humility and is extremely humble, even though he's achieved one of the highest honors that somebody can get, has just been truly inspirational. And from all of our guests, I've gleaned things from each one of the guests and then applied that to my own life. So it's definitely been a super rewarding experience, and I'm looking forward to a lot more.
You've also started a series of webinars discussing how to succeed as a student. How did you get that idea, and what has it been like to launch?
So for me, it was really important. I've always learned to make sure you pay it forward and give back, right? And I understood the importance of being able to succeed once you graduate either high school or undergraduate. So myself personally, I went to a public middle school, and I actually had the opportunity to go to a private high school. And once I got to that high school, I really saw the difference in how individuals think, networking with those high net worth individuals, and how being able to have that higher education can lead you to different aspects of life. I don't think I'd be where I'm at today if it wasn't for the things I learned in private high school. And so knowing that that changed the trajectory of my own career, I really wanted to make sure that I was paying that forward. And these are the things I learned. These are the things you should be doing. Don't do this. Learn from me. Try to do this. Things of that nature. And it kind of just took on a life of its own. I mean, it evolved from speaking to different student organizations to, you know, people were reaching out to me. I was a keynote speaker for the Minority Association of Pre-Health Students at Rutgers University. Never thought I'd have the chance to do that. And a lot of what it is sometimes you don't really know how valuable the information that you have to give somebody. Sometimes you don't see it as valuable, but a lot of other people may see it as extremely valuable. And so it's been truly a blessing to be able to just help as many students as I can. I'm really into paying it forward. So that's definitely been a blessing, and hopefully a lot more to come.
In addition to both of these really big undertakings, you're really passionate about giving back to the community and improving access for underrepresented students. Can you talk a bit about how you're doing that?
Yeah, so the biggest thing that I'm working on, and I'm very excited about it, I've always wanted to do this, is I started a scholarship. And so the scholarship is called the Aaron Johnson Scholarship. And essentially, it was created to afford students opportunities for higher education, like I alluded to earlier. For us, we really do believe that life is all about opportunities. And so our vision for the scholarship is to ensure a society where all students have equal opportunities to achieve success. I mean, it's been shown in countless studies, the different disparities from different backgrounds of how education can affect income and, you know, incarceration rates and things of that nature. And so it was really important for me to not just do the webinars, but actually give somebody something tangible to make sure that they can reach the next level. You know, the scholarship really focuses on closing that academic achievement gap for those students who historically have not had equitable opportunities in education. And one of the questions I get a lot is, well, what is underrepresented? It can mean a lot of different things. It could be an ethnic minority. It can be somebody going into a specific field that doesn't have a lot of males or females. There's a lot of different opportunities for students to break that mold. And we want to be at the forefront of that with the Aaron Johnson Scholarship. So really excited. I have an amazing team. And one thing I think is really important for us is we're trying to serve a lot of different students. So we also needed a very diverse board and leadership team. Sometimes you'll see somebody, organization, they'll say they want to, I don't know, help different minorities, but everybody on the team is the exact same ethnicity. You know, it's kind of counterintuitive. So my team is very diverse, a lot of different ethnicities, as well as different perspectives. My team, Emily Norris, she goes to Syracuse University. Christy Rivera goes to University of Central Florida. And Yuking Zhang, she goes to Berkeley in California. So it's been very exciting and challenging for me, because they put a lot of my beliefs into question. And I have to take a step back and I'm like, okay, this is how you look at things. Why are you looking at it that way? And how can we incorporate it to make sure that we're serving the community the best way that we can? So really looking forward to the Aaron Johnson Scholarship being a long lasting thing. I don't want it to just be a one and done. I want to be able to keep giving back to the community. Right now, we're just based out of Broward. That's, you know, where I grew up. But I do look to expand within the next 4 or 5 years, hopefully turn it into a nonprofit and then go from there. But it's just been, you know, a lot of these blessings have just come from just networking, just doing the hour invite, going to different events as students, and things just keep piling on one another. You don't know where things are going to lead. So it's been a journey, but I'm so happy to be able to give back.
It's time for a quick financial tip from Tim Ulbrich, founder of Your Financial Pharmacist. Affording big purchases like a home or a car can seem impossible. So this month, I spoke with Ulbrich to learn more about how to save for these expensive purchases.
Great question. When it comes to savings, you know, especially shorter term savings, when I think of things like emergency funds, rainy day funds, whatever we're going to call them. So we're not talking here about that long-term retirement investment savings. This is something I often felt frustrated by when people would say, you know, you need to have 3 to 6 months worth of expenses in emergency fund. And you're like, I'm a student and I don't make any income and I'm accruing a whole lot of debt. Like, that's not relevant, right? In the moment. And that's a good benchmark of something we want to work towards. But that's the key, right? We've got to work towards it, and we have to take some baby steps today that build momentum and confidence towards that longer term goal. So yes, we're going to put the goal out there, 3 to 6 months worth of expenses for that rainy day fund or that emergency fund. But one tangible goal I encourage students to take in the moment is set up a separate savings account that you're not using currently for your checking or other savings. Call it an emergency fund. And put 25 or 50 bucks or 100 bucks, whatever you can do in the moment to get it established, to identify the purpose and the goal, and to get that momentum going. And that becomes then that visual reminder when you log on to your account of, that's right, I'm trying to achieve this goal of that emergency fund or savings. And so we've got to, again, take some of these big sometimes overwhelming financial goals in the moment and really digest them into, okay, what's one thing that I can do today that's going to put me on the path towards achieving that goal in the long term?
Now back to the show. Aaron, since your webinars center around student success, I wanted to do a bit of a rapid fire round to get your best advice for pharmacy students. So first, what is your best advice for students looking to stay organized?
So I think my answer is going to be extremely subjective because everyone's different. So for me, I put everything on my phone because we're all on our phones every day. If there's one thing you're going to look at every day, it's your phone. So I tried the whole write it down on the calendar. The problem was I never looked at the calendar. So I what I like to do, like, for example, today's podcast, I knew it was going to be Wednesday at 10:30. So the night I put a reminder for a week before in my calendar, and then I put a reminder for the night before to remind me that, okay, tomorrow you have a webinar, a podcast. And then today, every hour since I woke up leading up to this podcast, I had a reminder. So I get so annoyed because I'm the type, I'll get a reminder and I'll just swipe them again, whatever. I'm not going to look at that. But if I annoy myself enough, you know, I'll remember it. And so we're all on our phones, whether it's Instagram or texting somebody back, whatever. So I'm like, all right, if you're going to pick up your phone, use that. There are some things that are more important than others, and those are the things you're not going to forget. But, you know, you still should just get in the habit of just put in your phone real quick and then be done with it. That's what works for me. I know other people that's the last thing that works. So, everyone's different.
Networking is a very important part of pharmacy school, but it can be a really vague term and hard to get started. What does networking mean to you, and what's your best advice for how to do that?
Yeah, so networking, like you said, it is relatively vague. But when I do give webinars, I think it's the most important thing that I harp on. So you can network in a lot of different ways. It depends on your comfort level, your personality, and what you've done. To be blunt, it's a lot easier to network when you've done a lot. It's just the reality. So for students, I think the best way to network is to go to those school-sponsored events, go to the ASHP events, the, you know, whatever organizations they have at the school. And then when you go there, you need to have an intent. Know who the speaker is, get their email or phone number at the end of the presentation, and then follow up. Life is all about relationships. I'd say 90% of the things that I've done is just because I've had good relationships with people. The scholarship came because I knew somebody that knew somebody that was able to pull some strings to make it happen. The podcast, same thing. We had one guest, and then this guest knew that guest, and we had a good reputation. Networking is twofold though, right? If you don't have a good relationship, your network may not be that great either. So definitely get involved with the student organizations, and don't be afraid to send an email. I think sometimes we think a lot of people are untouchable, and they're really not. They're people at the end of the day. If there's anything I've learned from, you know, the Our Invite podcast and just meeting a lot of people, no matter what level they're at, whether they're CEO of the company or the janitor, they're just people. And if you present yourself professionally and send them enough emails or phone calls, you'll either get blocked or they'll answer. I mean, the way I look at it is it was a no before you sent the email. So if they don't respond, you're still in the same exact spot you were at before.
With so many activities and projects, how do you take care of your mental health? And what's your advice for other students who might be stressed or feeling burned out?
Yeah, so everybody needs to figure out what that thing is for them. What is your escape? What is your advice? So for me, I work out every day. I'm actually a personal trainer. So I'm really into that. I make sure I exercise at least an hour every day, and I schedule that into my day. I think what ends up happening for a lot of students and people in their careers is they don't schedule time for that mental health or the physical health. And when you don't do that, there will always be an excuse to, oh, I was too busy, I was too tired, I didn't have time. When you schedule it in your day, now you're programming your mind and your body to say, I have to do that. And after a while, it just becomes part of your day. So I think whatever it is, whether it's working out, watching Netflix, playing video games, sitting on your phone for an hour, I think people need to make it part of their day, not make it an optional part of the day. I tend to be a pretty happy individual. I think I have a very good life and things of that nature, but I still need to relieve that stress. And I feel like I don't want to get too controversial, but I feel like the American workforce isn't built to make sure that people have a balance between mental well-being as well as, you know, work-life balance. I don't think it has been constructed that way. I think the 9-to-5 theory is very antiquated. And I think with the pandemic, it has shown that people can be extremely successful, if not more efficient, working at home, lesser hours, and still being able to get the things done that they need to. So at the end of the day, nobody's going to care about you like you. And you need to make sure that you are putting yourself first, above a career, above anything else, because who else is going to take care of you?
Thanks for listening to Study Break, a pharmacy-focused series. Tune in next month to hear more about the latest trends and issues for pharmacy students.